trouble. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. In my hour of darkness, she's standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. When the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, that will be an answer, let it be. Although they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. That will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
Hi, this is Kevin Amos, and you're listening to the Jazz Corner here at WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you. Here we are at the second hour of the Jazz Corner for Sunday, and let's go down the list and tell you some of the things that we've heard in this first hour. All kinds of different folks stepping in, and we can go with Maria Schneider and her orchestra doing Gumbo Blues. Miles Davis and John Coltrane celebrating the 50th year of A Kind of Blue. We heard Kind of Blue. Jennifer Hartswick of Only Time Will Tell, new music from her. Boney James, new music from Boney James, Coasting featuring Layla Hathaway. Gregory Porter doing I Will. One More Night from Tim Bowman. Kia doing Turn It Around. Jeff Golfin, new music from him. Jeff Golfin doing Between Dreaming and Joy. Also, Exomera Torres with Let It Be. Mike Clark and the Sugar Sounds. Yeah. And let me see here. No, actually it was Mike Clark and from Blues on Top. That's his latest one. Featuring Mike LaDon and also my man Leon Lee Dorsey, Pittsburgh Zone. And that brings us up to this point. Yeah, you're listening to the Jazz Corner here on WRCT Pittsburgh. Kevin Amerson with you with some great music for you on a Sunday. On a Sunday. Thank you. That was Brother Jack McDuff with a little different version of Killer Joe, but it was bad just the same. Wow. More to come here on the Jazz Corner for Sunday. Kevin Amoson with you. You can tune us in on the web, www.wrct.org, and stream us and listen.
live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jeff Goffin, Steve Lacy, New York Afro Bop Alliance Big Band, Connected Bones, Joey DeFrancisco, Jennifer Hartswick, Henry Franklin, and more this week.
Thank you. First instrument was the organ. It's interesting too, because a lot of the guys that play, the greats, Jimmy Smith, Jimmy McGriff, Groove Holmes, any of them started on a piano. I started on the organ, but I mean technically I started on a toy piano, so I don't really consider that, because that's a little thing with two octaves on it, so that's not a real instrument. But the first real instrument that I started on was an organ, and that was because we had one in the house. And my dad plays, so all the recordings, all the great records, jazz organ, everything, and the instrument was there. So I was, as a little kid, already knowing a little bit about the keyboard because of the toy piano I had, I was naturally attracted to this massive instrument. As far as my formal education with music, that came much later. I was primarily self-taught with the guidance of my father. I mean, well, my father also being an organist, he showed me how to turn it on, because turning on the Hammond organ is a little different. It's just not an on and off switch. And then, you know, you have the volume pedal. We also call that the expression pedal. And there's all the stops and things, draw bars, presets, all these things here. So how to set the organ up, how to turn it on and play it. And that's where it started for me. Because I had already been tinkering a little on the toy piano. So once I got on this organ, I said, okay, this sounds like, you know, things I'm hearing on these records. So then I started trying to emulate what I was hearing Jimmy Smith play and things like that. And I was around 4 when this all started. And I could start playing some blues pretty quick. And I pretty much taught myself that. My dad was more of a weekend musician, so he worked during the day. He worked for Amtrak, the railroad. And so when he would be at work in the daytime, I would be practicing, you know. So I'd practice every day until I learned the whole song. It was the sermon, Jimmy Smith's sermon. And he came home from work one day, and I had it down, the solo, everything. And he said he couldn't believe, you know, was he hearing things, you know. So that's where it started, and I just continued to do that. So from the time I was 4, 5, 6, I kept, you know, doing that. And I played completely by ear. Pretty much anything I heard, I could play. So I taught myself all these different songs and all these different things, and I learned how to improvise. And so when I was around 10, I started going to Settlement Music School. It was a school in Philadelphia. And I tried to take legitimate piano lessons to learn classical music and learn how to read a little, but having that good ear, it just made me a little lazy in that way. Because everything was so easy. I'm like, why do I have to do this? You know? I learned later on why that's important. But so I kind of like faked it through all those years of lessons because I'd ask the teacher, how do you play this? How do you phrase this? How should you? And she would play it, and then I could play it, you know? So, but she got wise to me. But, you know, what really was great at that school was there was a jazz ensemble. And that's how, you know, I had to get to play with people that were closer to my age, that were had the interest that I did in the music that I did. But I played more piano then because they didn't have an organ at the school. So I had to play the piano. So I had to learn, you know, even though there's a keyboard on those instruments, they're different, you know. The organ, you could hold a chord forever and sustain it. And it's got a very light touch, so you have to be more sensitive to how you play it. And you're doing different things. You're playing bass lines, you know, it's a different concept. Piano, you play more chords with your left hand than lines with your right hand, so it's completely different. So I learned how to play the piano during that time. And but over those, and then there were other teachers and things, and but there was a teacher in Philly when I was around, I'm from Philadelphia, and when I was around 12 that I started going to, named Gerald Price, who was a great piano player who played with all the top musicians. He's not really known, but he played with all the guys. And I started to learn how to read a little bit from him because of his approach. You know, he'd pick a song and, you know, and then I started understanding the notes and the chords and things like that. And, but my ear has always been my biggest thing to this day. I mean, I read better than I ever did. You know, I kind of gotten, I'm a fair reader now. I wouldn't even say I was a good reader, but I can get through things a lot quicker a lot of times in the studio than the guys that can read because I could hear it and I could do it, you know. But I'd say I was primarily self-taught street musician.
I'm Let's give a nice round of applause and bring out to the stand Mr. Joey DeFrancesco.